Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 9, day 1 of the study of Revelation. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Revelation 17, 1 through 18. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Click subscribe in iTunes or the Google Play Store to get this Bible study 5 days a week for your commute, workout, or wherever else you may listen. I want to encourage you to do something very special over the next few weeks. Lauren Cunningham, founder of Youth with a Mission, has asked us to pray to end Bible poverty worldwide. We need believers and unbelievers reading the Bible so they can know God. Would you consider praying to end Bible poverty on a weekly and daily basis? If so, would you please go to endbiblepovertynow.com and sign up to pray? Let's pray before we start today. Lord, would you end Bible poverty worldwide? Would you cause your people to begin reading your word on a daily basis? Would you provide your beautiful word to every tongue on earth? God, raise up translators, messengers, missionaries, and workers for your global harvest through your word. And Lord, would you speak to us through the book of Revelation today? In Jesus' name, amen. With that, let's jump into Revelation. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Revelation chapter 17, verse 1. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits by many waters. With her the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries." So, here we're looking back at this great harlot. We've already been shown this prostitute one time, and now we're going to get a little bit more detail. What we're going to find here in the next couple of chapters is really one of the central themes of the book of Revelation so far. And again, this is why I really encourage you to read the book once a week for 10 weeks. Just read it straight through. You know, there is a dearth of reading the Bible in America today. And that's why, you know, I talked about the Bible poverty. There's lots of people in America who love to study the Bible. They want to get into it, but they don't know it. They haven't read it. And we've got to fill our minds with scripture before we can really dig in and study. If we're not familiar enough with the actual words of scripture, it's very difficult for us to discern between what we've been taught, which may or may not be an accurate teaching, may not be right. It's difficult for us to discern what we've been taught and what the Bible actually says. And when I started studying the book of Revelation, I found for me, it actually took several months, not just 10 weeks, but it took several months for me to be able to kind of put away or be able to discern between what I've been taught and what the book actually said. And so it's very challenging for us to just read this once or just kind of study little snippets at a time and have a bigger picture. We need to read it over and over and over again. So I encourage you, make 10 weeks your starting point. If you really want to go deep in God's word on any book, any topic, don't just stop at 10 weeks. Let that be a starting point. If you're just trying to get a broad overview of scripture, 10 weeks is more than enough. If you're new to this, that's great. But I encourage you, don't stop at 10 weeks. If you are really, if the Lord is really stirring on your heart as we read through the book of Revelation, go through it another 10 weeks. Go through it another 20 weeks. And you're more than welcome to listen to this podcast over and over again. But I encourage you, I really pray that you're listening to the words of God at least 10 times as much as you're listening to mine or anyone else's. His words are much more powerful, infinitely more powerful than mine. So I encourage you, read this. And, you know, if you're on the go, if you're a podcast listener, you're probably someone who likes to listen to things, audiobooks and things like that. So there's plenty of ways for you to listen to the Bible, have it read to you. And don't feel any, you know, don't feel spiritually less, you know, awesome if you have to have it read to you. That's how most people throughout history were familiar with the Bible, as they had it read to them. And that's why Revelation specifically tells us in chapter 1, blessed are those who hear it. So let your Bible app on your phone or your computer or wherever else you listen, let your Bible app read it to you. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a great way to do it. I enjoy doing that from time to time. So with that little bunny trail, let's jump back into this. This woman, we've been introduced to her, but this is going to be the central theme, one of the central themes of the book of Revelation. And if you've studied this over and over again, you already know what I'm talking about. We're talking about Babylon. We're just about to get into that here in this chapter, but Babylon is one of the central themes of the book of Revelation. And we've seen so many crazy things. We've gone through all of the series of judgments, the seven seal judgments, the seven trumpet judgments, and the seven bowl judgments. We've gone through them now. We've seen these parenthetical sections where God has shown us different things that are going on. He's shown us the Antichrist and Satan and the false prophet. He's shown us so many different things that are going on. And now, here toward the end of this book, he's showing us why. Why was this cataclysmic end to human history necessary? What is it that God... Why did he choose to do things this way? Because I think when we read Revelation, if we read it through the lens of our current experience, if we look at it and say, well, things, you know, at least in the United States in 2016, they're not that bad. They're not that bad. So why is the Lord being so harsh? Why is he doing things like this? And here is the why. Here is the Lord saying, listen, no matter what you're going through. Now, some people are going through, things just as bad as this on planet Earth. This period of time is called the Great Tribulation. And it's called the Great Tribulation because it's going to be great worldwide. But there are people on Earth today, even though we're not in that period of the Great Tribulation now, there are people on Earth today who are going through the greatest tribulation they will ever face. Their Great Tribulation may be now. And the difference is the Great Tribulation means it's going to be worldwide in its impact. But people go through tribulation now. They've gone through it all through human history. I mean, you can only be persecuted, tortured, and die once. It doesn't get worse than that. So even though we may not be in the Great Tribulation now, some people are experiencing their own Great Tribulation, their tribulation. So the difference here as this is going to be worldwide in its impact, and the number of martyrs, the number of people that are going to die, is going to be unprecedented. And that may be the scariest thing that I've said in so far in our study for believers. And that's something that we have to come face to face with. When we read these chapters here, we need to come face to face with what is going to happen to us. This is where the Lord is saying, listen, if you think all of this is harsh, let me give you a little background on why I'm doing it, because what's going on planet Earth in the lead up to the Great Tribulation, we're not talking about the Great Tribulation period of time. We're talking about the lead up to it. There's going to be years where it's going to get harder and harder and harder for believers, even before the Antichrist has authority to make war with us and overcome us. This Babylon the Great that we're about to read about, this thing right here is going to be so heinous in the lead up to the Great Tribulation that we will be crying out to God saying, how long until you come? How long until you give us justice, God? That will be our cry because of this great harlot, Babylon the Great. Let's move on. Verse 3. Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand filled with the abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. The name written on her forehead was a mystery: Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman was drunk with the blood of God's holy people and the blood of those who bore the testimony to Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished. Well, let's pause right there. This is very interesting. There's a name written on her forehead, and John says it's a mystery. Now, we have to take a step back and understand what John is saying. He's saying that there's more to it than this. There's some kind of mysterious thing about this. It's not straightforward and literal. This is one of those places where I love the book of Revelation because John does a very good job of telling us when he's speaking literally and when he's speaking figuratively. And I don't understand exactly what he's seeing and why he's saying this is a mystery, but it's causing him to be astonished because on her forehead it says Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. Now, John may be thinking this is a mystery because Babylon has been long since gone. Babylon was wiped off the face of the earth by the Persians. They took it over and reduced it to rubble over the centuries. I mean, there is no more Babylon. And there wasn't during this time period. During John's time period, there hadn't been a Babylon for 400 and some odd years. There hadn't been a Babylon. And at this point, we're looking at 2,400 years since there was a Babylon. So this might have been the mystery that John was trying to figure out is, why is the Lord speaking about Babylon? What does this have to do with Babylon? And we're going to find out what this has to do with Babylon. So back to verse 6. I saw, right here at the end of verse 6, when I saw her, I was greatly astonished. Verse 7. Then the angel said to me, "Why are you astonished? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and the beast she rides, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The beast which you saw once was, now is not, and yet will come out of the abyss and go to its destruction. The inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world, will be astonished when they see the beast, because it once was, now is not, and yet will come." So let's pause right there. That's an interesting statement because John's astonished at what he's seeing. And the angel is saying, why are you astonished? It's the people of the earth. It's the lost people whose names aren't written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're the ones that are going to be astonished by this. This is rather astonishing, though. I mean, this must have been a sight for John to see because this woman, he's seeing her and he's trying to figure out, why is she representing Babylon and why is she drunk with the blood of God's people, those who hold to the testimony of Jesus? We're told right here that she is going to be responsible. The city Babylon is going to be responsible for the martyrdom of many, many saints, many believers. And again, this is leading up to and potentially during the Great Tribulation. This is not just during this Great Tribulation period. This is something that's going to be leading up to it. There is going to be a building. There is going to definitely be a cataclysmic ramping up of things during the Great Tribulation. You know, Jesus said that he likened it to giving birth. There's going to be labor pains and then birth pangs. You know, there's going to be that final push, that final moment where the pain is so intense, but it's short. It's intense, but it's short, but there's pain leading up to it. And we have to understand that this is not a period of time where it's just going to, I caution people when their understanding of Revelation is that we're going to be whisked away before anything bad happens. And as soon as we're gone, then it's just going to get really bad. The world's going to go to hell in a handbasket. And I don't believe that's what we're looking at here. What I believe is Revelation tells us that it's going to get much, much worse. It's going to get progressively worse at an accelerating pace right up to that point when the Antichrist sets up the abomination of desolation in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, in this rebuilt temple. And at that point, that is when it's going to get drastically worse. That is the beginning of those birth pangs that are going to be intense but short. But leading up to it, it's going to get worse and worse for God's people. The world, I mean, it's going to get worse and worse for everyone. But the Lord is going to allow this Babylon the Great to begin this martyrdom. There's going to be saints, massive saints that are going to be beheaded, we'll find out. So on to verse 9. This calls for a mind with wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 hills on which the woman sits. They are also 7 kings. 5 has fallen, 1 is, the other has not yet come. But when he does come, he must remain for only a little while. The beast who once was and now is not is an 8th king. He belongs to the 7 is going to destruction. The 10 horns you saw are the 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. They will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them, because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. Then the angel said to me, "The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. The beast and the 10 horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to accomplish his purpose by agreeing to hand over to the beast their royal authority until God's words are fulfilled. The woman you saw is the great city that rules over the kings of the earth." So I wanted to just read through that because I think this is a wonderful thing that happens in Revelation, is this angel is just laying it out really straight up for John. And so we understand that this woman, there's some kind of dualistic aspect to her. There's some kind of worldwide system in place that is this Babylon. So you could think of Babylon as a system that is doing all of these negative things. We're going to find out more in the next chapter, but there's a system in place, but there is also a literal city. He's saying this woman you saw is that great city that rules over the kings of the earth. There's going to be this 10 king alliance, this 10 kingdom alliance that we see is going to give their authority to the Antichrist. And they're all going to be allied with Babylon, with this woman Babylon, with this figurative and literal city of Babylon. But the Antichrist and the false prophet, when they come into power, they're going to want everything for themselves. They're not going to share any longer with Babylon. So I don't know, and I can't tell you anyone who knows this, but at some point, either at the beginning of the Great Tribulation, when the Antichrist sets himself up as God, basically, or sometime during it, he is going to destroy the city, Babylon the Great. He's going to completely destroy it, and he's going to make the systems which govern the earth his own. He's going to completely take over. And so the Lord is actually going to raise up. He's allowing the Antichrist to have authority over the earth, because the Antichrist's job is to destroy Babylon, and Babylon is going to be destroyed because Babylon destroyed us. And in the same way, you know, Babylon was used as judgment against the Israelites. Babylon is going to purify God's people. God's people are caught in mixture right now. The Lord is going to use Babylon to purify his people again, just as he did with the Israelites during the when they were carried away to Babylon. God used Babylon to purify his saints, but Babylon was given authority over them and Babylon abused it. And so God judged Babylon harshly then, and he's going to judge Babylon harshly in the coming days. And during this period of Revelation, he is going to raise up this Antichrist to judge and annihilate Babylon. So that brings us to the question, what is Babylon? Where is Babylon? Who are these 7 horns and the 7 mountains, the 7 hills and the 10 horns? What is all of this? Well, we don't know who these 10 kings are. There's lots of speculation over that. And I encourage you, you can let your mind wander about what those things can and will be. But in the end, we don't really know. I believe we're going to need prophetic revelation. You know, the angel tells them again, we see this again, this is going to call for a mind with wisdom. And he's not saying this is going to call for smart people. It's going to call for people in tune with the Holy Spirit, who hear what the Holy Spirit is saying in this hour. The 7 hills, though, what we understand, these kingdoms that were and one that was and is coming back, Daniel gives us a very similar, or the angel gives us a very similar description in the book of Daniel. And basically what we understand is that this last kingdom is some kind of resurgence of the Roman Empire. It was the Roman Empire in Daniel that cut the Messiah off. There's this prophecy of weeks that we'll talk about a little bit more in Daniel, where there was a nation that was going to cut off the Messiah and then return. And it's somehow, in some form or fashion, this Antichrist, this Babylon and Antichrist are going to revive this ancient Roman kingdom, and not like the Holy Roman Empire that was Christian, but the pagan Roman Empire, some form or fashion of that ancient Roman Empire, whether it's literally the Roman Empire or it's going to look like the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire had what was called the Pax Romana, the Roman peace, and it was a peace through tyranny. I mean, it was a difficult, hard peace to maintain, and they did it with with the strength of their sword. And so it might be speaking to the cruelty with which the Antichrist brings peace to the earth. We know that he will bring a false peace to the earth, and it might be that kind of cruelty that Rome was known for. We don't know exactly what it will be, but we know that the Antichrist will bring a cruel peace to planet Earth. So that's all the time we have for today. Thanks again for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. It's the number one way to let other people know about this podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and we'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.